Welcome to the Back to Basics podcast series from Stone King and RSM, created specially for Academy Trust. I'm Richard Lewis, partner at RSM, where we provide audit, tax and consulting support to the education sector. Throughout this series, we are pleased to be joined by experts from Stone King.
Hi, I'm Catherine Robinson, Senior Associate in Stone King's employment team, a leading law firm for the education sector. In this series, we'll be giving Academy Trust the knowledge and insights into key topics, including governance, risk, and special severance payments.
We hope you find this series sharp, practical, and insightful. Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of RSM Stone King Together. Today, we are at the CST Conference 2025, and in this room with me, I have Jean from Stone King, Alex from RSM, and myself, Richard, from RSM as well. And we're just going to chew some fat around the conference and what we've heard and seen so far and what's coming up tomorrow at our conference, and including our sessions at Stoke King running and at RSM running too. So for me, I thought it started off really well with the Shireland young people playing a great couple of pop tunes for us. My favourite was the third one on Sway. I think it's old Dean Martin song as well. But anyway, then we moved on to some keynote speeches. And some of those key topics they talked about was engaging with the young people. And Citrus State talked about engagement as well and bringing in disadvantaged young people together. So, Jean, what are your thoughts on what you've heard so far of the conference and the keynote speeches?
Yeah, thanks, Rich. I mean, it was really, really exciting to be here. And it is fantastic to be live recording a podcast at CST, something that we've never done before. I don't think RSM have done before. And it's really quite cool. Obviously started off the day with the wonderful music, as Richard talked about, and then a keynote from Sir Hamid Patel, who obviously is chair of CST, really quite moving kind of opening address, and then Leora Crudas, obviously CEO of CST, then speaking really passionately about a number of subjects. And then we moved into to Bridget Phillipson, who gave a speech, and then obviously, which we dealt to a degree with some existing subject matter, which we've heard a little bit before, but then did a Q&A with Leora and delved a bit further into some of the kind of subjects of the white paper. She didn't, obviously, for obvious reasons, give an awful lot of detail as to the white paper. I think the only substantive thing that I'd not heard before was the reading tests or literacy tests at the end of year eight, which was new for me. Now, I don't know if you'd heard that before, Richard or Alex.
Not at all, but I think what was interesting from what she said was around how the government have invested in the school sector in terms of breakfast clothes and free meals, and that was something I was going to continue. And that was a positive move, but I never... Great stories, I think, for the trust. That money's there to for you people to have a good start of the day. That's, I think, it's quite important, but I want to pick up on the points you mentioned there around some of the comments we heard around design in society.
Yeah, yeah.
And how young people need a good life and a good society and to really have a good home and some hope and enable them to flourish, because some kids are not engaged at the moment. Use the word kids for pupils. Sorry for that, folks. But I think
Bridget used kids, actually, a couple of times. She did.
It's the key word at the moment, clearly. But we heard about people failing and not engaging in the school system. And I think just to touch upon that with Alex and Eugene around, your thoughts on what could we do if we were designing a society? Okay, Alex, to you first. Would you pick as a design society?
I think everything that came through in terms of, like you said, the flourishing element, everything that comes to mind is Academy Trust really focusing on the vision, taking it forward. It's about collaboration, that civic partnership. And for me, obviously, my role as providing internal audit, it's about those firm foundations. And obviously, we'll talk about our sessions we've been doing through our podcasts about building the basics. There's so much change within the sector. We talked about the white paper. We talked about Ofsted framework. There's really got to be that change and mindset of actually taking it forward as an Academy Trust, but having that civic partnership view as well.
Yeah, I'm a podcast listener. You can't see me nodding my head there twice, I was saying, but I did. I was kind of agreeing with you. I was on. And Jean, if you were to have
an idea for a designing society, what would your idea be?
That's quite exciting, isn't it? I mean, it creates some kind of omnipotent Jean Boyle, but possibly I might be slightly out of my comfort zone in relation to that. I mean, I think what Bridget, the thing that struck me about Bridget's speech and also the questions that Leora put to her is that, as Alex has said, she talked about civic society and also about academy trusts being civic institutions. And for those of us who worked with CFST for many years, as Stone King and RSM both have, civic schools are civic entities is something Leora's been talking about for years. And it was really interesting to see Bridget actually using that language. I thought also what was interesting is having heard Bridget last year at the CST conference being slightly sitting on the fence in relation to the role of academies and how this year she was very much positive about the trust model.
Embracing it.
Obviously. Yeah, it really very much embracing it. And that seemed to me a huge shift, actually, because she was quite agnostic about trusts, I think. And I think that was the terminology that those in the sector were using. You know, she's not particularly for, but she's not particularly against. But I feel like this year she's been very much for it. And she gave a couple of examples, actually, you know, ones that actually Stone King are very familiar with, which was 5 acres up in the Forest of Dean, which is part of Greenshaw Learning, and the work that they've done. And she was very complimentary about that. And also a trust up in the Northeast, which she's familiar with and I'm familiar with. And the work that they'd done. So that was one of the things that I took from it. She did talk a lot about child poverty, as we'd expect that she would do, and talked about that being her personal moral mission. And again, Leora talked about that, and I found that really... I mean, it's very moving. I'm from the Northeast. Child poverty at the moment in places in the Northeast is running at about 45%, which is shocking, frankly. And obviously Bridget is also from the northeast of England, who's acutely aware of the issues that are happening. I thought Bridget spoke very well on that. It wasn't part of her speech, it was part of the Q&A. But she also talked about empowering trust leaders to do their thing. And I think that's where, for me, where as advisors, Stone King and RSM can really add value.
Yeah. It's a good point. And just before I bring Alex, the point you mentioned there around Bridget's engagement, I think she was kind of almost passionate about trust, almost. I think she was.
Yeah, I agree.
That changed since last year, as you say. I think you did the political talk around more funding in terms of free meals and breakfast clubs, etc. But equally, I think there was an undertone of, yeah, do you know what? I get this. And it's important for the young people. And Alex, I think you're nodding as well.
I think. She brought it to life through stories, and like you said, in terms of the independent inquiry, obviously SENS being a real key focus, and that inclusion, that inclusivity is really important. But it did align to was the messages that CST were giving, and I think that is really important. That going back to that empowering trust to do what they need to. Outside of obviously all the other regulatory bodies that have to work together in terms of poverty, it's about them what can a trust do within their remit.
Yes.
But you do need that collaborative partnership to be able to do that.
Before we touch on your point there, I think we're going to talk around the white paper moment, but back to the Design Society, I think you talked about poverty a few moments ago, Jean, and I generally believe young people need a really good night of sleep. And I'm slightly... upset that some people don't, and some people are looking for bed to sleep on and mattresses, etc. So I think that element around breakfast clubs is great and free meals is great. There's so much poverty that needs to be resolved, and that's one thing in my design society I'd like to make sure every young person has a nice sleeping place to sleep and have a great mattress. But that's just my idea about design society. But back onto the flourishing, the theme of the conference, and what we've been working on as podcast over the last couple of weeks, and around what you hear today around the white paper and regulation. We all know about the handbook, the rules, but I think the white paper is going to hopefully allow trust to move outside and take risks, Jean. Your thoughts, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bridget talked a lot about not waiting. I mean, she said, you know, that obviously the academy trusts need to, as do all schools, need to work within the regulatory environment, and it's absolutely right that the DfE and other arms keep keep hold schools to account within that regulatory framework. But equally, she talked about schools not waiting for the department to tell them what to do and to act with initiative. And I think that's something that schools already do a lot of. But I think there's also an element of schools feeling restricted sometimes. And I think it's incumbent on advisors like us, RSM and Storm King, to almost seek to empower schools to say, OK, well, yeah, we understand that your regulatory environment says this and we can work within that. But let's have a conversation about how you can do what you need to do ultimately for the benefit of pupils within that regulatory environment. And there might be an element of slightly pushing at the edges of that sometimes. But that's where that close relationship with the advisors really, really actually comes to fruition, because we can have that honest conversation to say, actually, this is worth a push, or this is worth a risk, and these are the consequences, as opposed to actually, no, you know, the computer says no because the handbook says this, this, and this.
And on that point around risks, tomorrow, Alex, we've got our session here at the conference. And just to give listeners a bit of a flavour, what is our session about?
Yeah, so going back to what Jean said around risk, there's also opportunities as well. And I think, you know, you're going to have a risk appetite that can vary. We've had sessions today on the CST conference on cybersecurity. You know, key risks probably on every organisation's about risk register. So AI is another example where actually trusts are taking that leap forward into opportunities and using AI to bring efficiencies, different lens in terms of teaching, for example. So our session is going to look at actually exploring risks within trusts and looking at actually the internal control environments and the assurances that trusts receive in terms of the risks that they're managing, linking into also the vision and objectives of trusts. And I think that's really important because actually, you know, our sessions we've been doing, our podcasts with State King have been all about building blocks, the foundations, compliance with the Academy of Trust Handbook. And I think it's a great session to explore and really consider the assurances that people receive.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And also there'll be audience participation as well. So that's what the exciting bit around audience participation. So
it certainly is.
Jean, that's our session. Tomorrow you've got yours as well.
I do.
And before the lunch break, I think ours is after lunch break, but anyway. What's yours, ma'am?
11 o'clock tomorrow. So my colleague Kira Campfield is speaking about the use of subsidiary companies within multi-academy trusts. So it's really going to that kind of innovation piece. So Bridget talked about schools really taking the initiative within the regulatory framework and doing things for the benefit of their pupils. And this is a, you know, just one aspect that trusts can explore. I've got one tiny slide on the use of staff in the context of subsidiaries, which is a really relevant point. So, really looking forward to that and really looking forward to meeting lots of other colleagues at the CST conference.
I'm sure it's an important slide.
You're very well. And don't forget, listeners, to catch our other podcasts on the great topics. Episode 1 was on special severance payments. Episode 2 was on governance. Episode 3 was on risk management, including a session with Risky Rich. And our fourth session, which dropped yesterday, is on the UK Economic Crime and Corporate Transparency Act 2023. What a mouthful, ETA, as we've been told it to refer to. So do join those podcasts. Do enjoy. And that leads me to say thank you all for listening. And Jean, thank you. Alex, thank you. Goodbye all. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you found the series helpful.
Also, don't forget to stay connected for more expert insights from Stone King and RSM.